This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, seavillepodcast.com.
We're talking to Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and what's up with these nine-story buildings? I said a few minutes ago that they'd already approved a whole bunch of them, but evidently you told me just now that they had only approved one nine-story building.
There's one recent one. There have been a number of new proposals related to future nine-story buildings, different ideas that people have had. They range everywhere from the First and Main Street project, which is actually the one that sort of brought this back to the city's attention. That was a Keith Woodard proposal.
I'm horrible with the street names and all that.
That's
where
right,
is it?
Right near Hamilton's. It's the facades.
So it's on the mall?
It's on the mall. It's
okay.
The facades that have been bricked up for years. That's one of the historical questions, is how do you preserve some of that architecture and have new development at the same time.
That's the one that, what's his name, Lee Danielson, wanted to tear down all those buildings and build something huge all the way back to Lee Park.
That's right. The old Boxer Learning Facility, which Oliver Kuttner purchased, there's been some discussion about a boutique hotel of some sort there.
What is a boutique hotel?
A really fancy, expensive one.
Okay. Oh, one of those.
That's the only
Never
way
stayed
I can
in one of those.
Corin Capshaw is talking about a project down at the Coal Tower, another project along Avon Street. You know that big barn-looking building near the pavilion?
But that hasn't sold yet? The Silver Barn.
Well, they're talking about that project.
The one
that was approved is called the Waterhouse Project, and that's up closer to the Lewis and Clark building.
Okay.
But one of the interesting things to me that happened in this meeting, and the reason we're talking about this is last week, talking about dancing, last week they were dancing all around this issue about nine-story buildings.
Who was?
This was the city council, which had a joint work session with the planning commission of the city and the Board of Architectural Review. So we had a whole lot of people in a room, and staff had presented a memo saying, here's some things we think you need to think about. And one of the interesting things, Jim Tolbert, who runs the city's neighborhood development services, he wanted to debunk the myth, and I'll help him here, that in 2003 there was some change that suddenly allowed nine-story buildings. And that's not the case. It turns out that the building limit was originally set in 1972 to 175 feet. Right now, in 1985, it was bumped down to 101 feet, which is about nine stories.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, this height limit has been around for a while.
Which in historical context, 72, they're trying to figure out a way to save downtown. That's about the time they voted to do the downtown mall. So that probably came in. They changed that as a way to probably entice some developers to come downtown and big buildings in 85. That's right around the time they built the University Hospital. And there was a huge, big stink about the hospital. A lot of people hated it because it was so big. And they said, how dare you build something so big, so close to the rotunda? And I think the city may have reacted then and scaled back their allowable height limit on buildings in relation to that.
Well, just to give you some perspective, the rotunda, I think, is about 75 feet tall. The Hotel Monticello, which is on the downtown mall and courts, off of the downtown mall near Court Square, that building is about 114 feet. Tall. The Wachovia building on the downtown mall is 8 stories. It's probably in that same range.
The city has approved a building taller than the Wachovia building to be built on Water Street?
More stories. I don't know how many feet the Wachovia building is.
Okay.
But I went in and checked the elevator today because I knew you'd ask me. The elevator only has an 8 button.
Of course I'd ask you. You've been doing this show long enough.
I do my homework.
The long and the short of it is, it's a really tall, big building right on Water Street.
Some of the questions being raised by staff are, you know, what would downtown mall look like with a whole lot of these buildings?
Yeah.
And are there more appropriate places for them than others? You know, one of the things
Do we want to cluster them somewhere downtown just anywhere?
Some of that's that visual impact. Some of it is what side is the sun on? And so you can envision having taller buildings on one side of the mall, like where the Wachovia building is, and not on the other. If you're thinking about keeping that vibrant environment with the restaurants and people sitting outside, it's more attractive if there's sunlight.
Otherwise, in summer, you're not going to get any sun on the downtown mall. It's just going to always be in shade, which I guess this summer people might like.
Well, that issue of sunlight is one question. Then the issue is moving away from the mall. Like if you go down to the open parking lot off of Water Street, between Water Street and South Street, There's an open parking lot that's owned by the Charlottesville Parking Company. Then there's one that's city-owned where they have the city market. Those two lots are, you know, everyone's looking at is what's going to come there someday.
Right, right.
And what would nine-story buildings be like there? So what the city is trying to do is be, you know, proactive. And now that the economics are such that developers are coming to them and saying, hey, we're thinking about this, they want to be out there in front of that and ask questions of these elected officials and appointed officials and say, you know, is that the appropriate limit everywhere? Should nine stories be by right? Or should it be, you know, you can only go to four stories, and then if you want to go above that, you have to get special permission.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a whole lot of specifics that they haven't yet ironed out.
And they didn't really get into it.
They have approved one.
And they had this work session. The podcast is up on our website, SeavilleTomorrow.org. And on the blog there, you can listen to the meeting, and we've broken it down and given some timestamps so you can jump to the place you're interested in. But they really didn't come up with any specific conclusions, spent a lot more time talking about demolition and historic structures.
Yeah.
And the
Board
of Architectural Review was saying, you know, hey, what can we do? We can't really ask questions about what's going to come next. We have to look at what's there today.
Right, right.
And what would be the impact of it going away.
And everybody should admit, and people will know, they shouldn't be surprised this is coming out of my mouth, but that's one of the reasons downtown Charlottesville is so appealing, is because we have maintained a lot of these older buildings, this historic fabric. We kept it, and it makes it a unique, older, it's just a different feel from another city. And if we give up on that now, we're going down a totally different road than the one we started going down when they bricked the mall and said, okay, which is a major historic preservation project, bricking this mall, preserving these old buildings along this thoroughfare. And
so we will keep following it. They didn't make any decisions, but they pledged to keep meeting.
I remember one day walking with Hooja over there with those two big parking lots along Water Street, between the downtown mall and Water Street, and he was pointing and saying, wouldn't it be great if we did this and did that? And the one idea I remember that from that conversation was, he said, I'd love to see the mall extended down between these two parking lots.
Yeah.
So that the mall would actually go off the mall. The bricked part of the mall would cross Water Street and go down to a little courtyard
area.
Sure,
you've got the Frank Ickx project going on in that direction. You've got the new ACAC complex. So that's going to be talked about, people wanting to extend the mall that direction and continue that vibrant development.
Yeah, and they have to be aware that there's going to be a lot more crossings if they do extend it, you know, auto crossings. But it's only going to raise property values, I would think, given the property values that exist on the mall. I mean, some folks pay $2,000-$3,000 for an apartment down there.
And we have to address the parking challenges. We keep hearing the residents remind us that that's a big challenge downtown. And any of these new buildings that are nine stories are going to bring a lot of people, because they're going to be condominiums.
Right, right. And people want to live down there. Cars. And they recently announced that they're raising rates on downtown parking.
Yep.
50 cents is going up. So anyway, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow right here in the studio live, as we do it every Tuesday. Tonight, a big meeting in the county.
Well, which seems to be the case every week, the rate things are going. Tonight, there are a couple interesting issues. The first one I'll talk about is what's called Ravana Village.
And this is the County Planning Commission, not the Board of Supervisors.
Correct, County Planning Commission.
Which is a very, we should say, off the top, that's a pretty influential group of people.
Oh, it's huge. And they are appointed by the Board of Supervisors. So, you know, who you elect for the board ends up getting reflected on the Planning Commission.
Right,
so
right.
So it's very important. Ravana Village is a proposed development out near Glenmore. And it gets a little complicated here, but let me just
try. Is this the water one?
This is not the well. No, it's not.
Well, very nicely put. I should have said, is this the well one?
That's good.
The well water one.
You're paying attention. It's not that one, but it's in the same neck of the woods. We have these designated growth areas around the county. Crozet is one of them. We've talked a lot about that.
Yep.
29 North Corridor is another. This whole urban ring around Charlottesville. Well, there's one other island of growth that was designated by Albemarle County, and that is the village of Ravana.
Never heard of it.
Well, that is basically, Glenmore is right in the middle of it.
It's in Albemarle County?
It is a designated growth area.
Well, I know where Glenmore is.
Well, that's
out 250.
That's the bulk of the housing in this.
Oh, it is, okay.
Designated growth area.
So Glenmore is the growth area.
It's about 1,800 acres that represents the designated growth area. Of that, Glenmore is about 1,200 of those acres.
Oh, wow. So there's not much left to develop in that particular growth
not
area.
Not much left, and there's about 725, 750 units in Glenmore today they might build out in the 800 to 1,000 range. But this is a separate piece of property, about 95 acres, which is right along 250 and near the entrance of Glenmore.
Okay.
And it's called Ravana Village, which is different from the Village of Ravana, which is the designated growth area.
Gotcha.
So you're going to see both those terms thrown out the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very confusing.
And tonight is what exactly vis-a-vis Ravana Village?
Two things interesting happening. One, when this proposed development came forward, and what they're talking about are about 500 residential units, maybe 125,000 square feet of commercial. When this started getting talked about last year, the residents in the Village of Ravana area were very alarmed that this kind of density, that that this number of housing units was coming right on the doorsteps of Glenmore. Concerns about traffic, concerns about the public's involvement in this plan, and the need for a master plan. You know, they've watched Crozet get master planned. They were asking for a master plan. They said don't build out the rest of our growth area until you master plan it.
Right.
And so the citizens were very upset. Well, no, there's not a master plan in process right now. It even got to the point where the folks out there threatened to leave the county and create their own town. They were so upset. They've come a long way since last fall.
I smell a Hook cover story coming.
They've come a long way. But what's interesting is they submitted their own comprehensive plan amendment, which is basically a request to change the master planning document for the whole county. And they wanted some specific changes in place. They wanted the level of service in this new development to not be for the whole region or the whole, you know, community level. They wanted it to be neighborhood level service. So instead of a big giant grocery store, Giant or Kroger, how about a small, you know,
like a Bel Air Market.
All Nations.
Yeah, okay.
Or the current Whole Foods, something smaller like that. So neighborhood level service. The same with parks. They didn't want a regional park that everybody would be coming to play soccer. You know, think South Fork Soccer Park.
So they really don't want to be a growth area is what it gets down
well,
to.
Well, and yes, a lot of people said that. And a lot of people who moved in after it was already designated a growth area. So there was some learning curve there by new residents to learn what was in the plan and what exactly was intended by that plan.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you've got to say that because they got active and because they started working with the developer, they got some things changed. A lot of things have been changed about this project that'll be discussed tonight. It's a work session. It's not the final opportunity for the public to weigh in on this. But they've scaled back the commercial, they've scaled back the play fields, and are going to try to make it, you know, more friendly and as best a center of a future, you know, growth area as possible.
Brian Wheeler, our guest, Charlottesville Tomorrow. Is one of the lessons of the Crozet Master Plan, I don't want to use the word debacle, but is one of those lessons that residents would be better off going to the developer rather than the county, or should they go to both?
Well, I think you have to go to both. I mean, there's some issues that are clearly at the county level, population issue and sort of, you know, where we go with a plan and how many units we want and what's the vision for an overall area.
Yeah.
That's something at the county level. With a specific development, I think there's a lot to be said for working constructively with the developer and trying to get something that's in the best interest of the community as a whole.
Yeah.
That said, a lot of residents, you know, when their neighborhood is adjacent to a new development, the initial reaction we tend to see is, I don't want to be connected to that. Don't put any roads connecting our two areas. But, you know, I think
it might actually be in their interest to go to the developer and say, okay, you can connect us, but this is what we want.
Right.
You know.
Or, you know, maybe you connect us with a pedestrian path. You get it ready
for a
road. Let's see how it goes. Let's see what you actually build in here. And then once they realize, hey, there's shopping destinations, there's a school in this site, those things can be easily relieve congestion on the roads because people can drive from one neighborhood to the other.
Is it naive to think that once upon a time you could just buy a house and enjoy your neighborhood? And now it seems like you buy your house and all of a sudden you got to start going to meetings.
Well, in a community that's growing, we will constantly face those challenges. I mean, if you live in the rural parts of the county, you might get some of that protection if you have enough land.
Yeah.
But
not much has changed.
Look carefully for, you know, conservation easements and things like that to protect you. But, you know, in a growing area, we have to be involved, and that's what Charlottesville Tomorrow is here to help people do.
Brian, thank you, my friend. Brian Wheeler, Charlottesville Tomorrow, that's SevilleTomorrow.org, and you can catch this interview in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com.